I'd like to, who do I welcome first? I'd like to welcome our YouTube viewers, first of all. We trust you'll have a wonderful time listening to this message as Pastor Sid Hartley preaches it. And I want to hand over to Pastor Sid and thank you so much for your heart for God's people and for the way that you trust in faith for them for breakthrough. And we trust that this morning as you share it, it'll be the same.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, thank you very much. It's a real honor and privilege for me to stand here. Sure. God is here. I say God is here. Not a great start, is it? But I just have a sense that God wants to touch us and give breakthrough in our lives. Let me put it this way. We serve a miracle-working God. And so when we come into His presence, it's so great just to have a real sense of expectation. And I'm sensing that your expectation is growing. I just have a sense that God's already begun to move in our midst. I have a sense that some people came in with pain. And that pain has already left. Is there anyone like that over there? I see. Look at this. Praise God. I see hands. Some people have come in with pain in your joints. And I want to say, you're going to leave painless. Is that good news for anyone here today? And so let's just keep our expectation in Him. I want to speak for a few moments on just the subject, one in Christ. And I just had the sense that God wants to remind us about who we are in Him. And that's what the one in Christ really means. So I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 1, if I may. From verse 3, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And you can follow on the screen if you want to. It says, all praise to God, sure, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ even before He made the world. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. Listen to this. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. Let's just bow our heads in prayer as we consider the scripture and others. Father, we just want to so thank you for what you've done for us. We don't deserve anything because we just us. We're just sinners, all of us. But thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for who you are. Just thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we're in your presence this morning, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our midst. We thank you that you've already begun to move in this congregation. And Lord, I thank you that it's your will that each one of us will meet with you in a special way, maybe different, but in a special way, that we'll walk out not the same as what we came in. And we thank you for that, and I pray that you will confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles, because you're a miracle-working God. And you love us so much. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So that song that was sung earlier, and in fact, many of the songs we sung, so fit into what God, I sense God wants me to share. But that one, I'm no longer a slave of fear. Why? Because I am a child of God. And you know, I have a sense also that people came in this morning with some sort of fear, worry, anxiety. Some of them under stress, you actually felt it. And already while you've been sitting here, it's almost like a calm has come upon you. It's like a peace has come upon you. Is anyone like that this morning? You say, that's me. I came in. Praise God. Look at these hands. Praise God. Let's give God a hand, because you see, that's Him. In His presence, there is peace. And He loves us so much. So I looked at this, at these verses that I read, and I just want to point out a couple of things as an introduction, if I may. So the first thing is this, is that He's blessed us. How many of you are blessed? We're blessed. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. So I want to say this, you're not deprived. You're not disadvantaged any longer. No matter what your background is, you're blessed. Because God has blessed you. And maybe if you'd like to, and you have that courage, turn to the person next to you and say, you're blessed. That's great. It says, then the next thing is over here that I see is that God loved us. We loved by God no matter what. I think we all have weaknesses in our lives, don't we? And we've all sinned in our lives, and some people are still living with the guilt of sin, others not. But the issue is, no matter what, He loves you. And then it goes on, it's even more than that. He chose us. Well, imagine being chosen by God. Now, this is of particularly great meaning to me, because as I was growing up and I was at school, I was just very average, and I was also short, and like I'm a down-to-earth sort of person. That hasn't changed. But I remember, how many of you remember that they're going to pick teams now to play soccer or cricket or whatever the case is? So you have two captains, they choose two captains, and they start picking. Does anyone remember that? Well, I want to say this, that I normally landed up at the end of the queue. So it was embarrassing. The moment they want to start choosing teams, I want to walk away, because you sort of pick up a bit of a guilty complex there. But I want to say this, I was in the front row when God chose His team. And His team isn't for 1.5 hours, hallelujah. His team is for all eternity. And I want to say to you, no matter who you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how many weaknesses you have, you are chosen by God to be His child forever and ever, hallelujah. It says over here, He adopted us into His own family. I am a child of God. I'm in the family of God. I praise God for my family, but more importantly, I'm in His family. And that carries on. It talks about His glorious grace that He has poured out on us. People, there's grace. And what does grace mean? It just simply means this, is that you don't deserve something good, but you get it anyhow. It's almost like a gift, isn't it? And I'm always interested by some parents. It's one thing I didn't do. I did a lot of other things. is that you say to your children, but of course it's not you, it's for those, hopefully you're listening on YouTube or going to listen on the radio or whatever. But how many of you say to your children, oh, that's the wrong question, but let me carry on with it, that if you behave yourself, why are you laughing? He knows where I'm going. Hey, Bongani? If you behave yourself, you will receive a gift for your birthday or for Christmas. Now we're in church, so you got to tell the truth. Anyone ever said that to your children? There the hands up. How many of you know you never meant a word of that? You're just trying to manipulate your children into doing good because that gift was already bought. They're going to receive it no matter what. Why? Because it was based on grace and not works. Is that true? So, never say that to your children again. Teach them grace. Okay, so the glorious grace has been poured out on us. And it talks about his rich in kindness. We serve a kind God. In fact, it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. It's his kindness. It says he's purchased our freedom. And we've been singing about the blood of Jesus. It took the death of Jesus. Shed his blood for us to receive freedom. He showered us with his kindness. He's forgiven us his sins. Isn't that wonderful? I am a child of God. And that's what it means. So becoming one in Christ is this. It's we become one in Christ by receiving the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There's a difference between receiving him and believing in him. And so it says in John 1:12, New Living Translation, but to all who believed him and accepted him, that's the key, accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And I want us to remember this thing, is that we are reborn. Because that's an important thing. And who's it to? It's to everyone who accepted him. So how do you accept Jesus? I think it's the same way as that you receive someone into your house, you accept them into your house. Once they get through all your security and so on, they get to the door, don't they? So how do you receive them? You have to open the door and say, come in. And once they've said to you, come in, then you accept it, aren't you? You come in. So it doesn't help that you go to the door, you come to visit me, you come to the door, I open the door, but immediately I go to the kitchen, put the water on, get the cookies out. Where will you be standing? Probably outside. Why? I haven't said, come in. And you know, to receive Jesus, we believe in him, but to receive him, it's the same thing. We just say a simple prayer, we mean it with all our hearts, just who we are, where we are, with all our warts and weaknesses and failures and so on. And we just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. That moment, a miracle takes place. We become born again. We become reborn. That means we have a new life. We become the children of God. And many of us have done that, but I may give an opportunity for anyone here who hasn't to do that later. So, now, the issue is, who are we once we become a child of God? And this is the point that I want to stress a bit, because so many people are not living the life that God has for us because we don't understand who we are in him. And so it says, well, the point is, one in Christ means receiving a new identity. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, yes, the important thing is that we, when we receive Jesus, we become new creations. I've looked at those two words up in the Greek, and it means new. How many of you know what new is? New is new. Okay, that's what it is. How many of you ever bought a new car with 1,500 kilometers on it? Well, I've got news for you. There wasn't a new car. That's nearly new, but it's not new. It's still second hand. Okay? We become new people, not renovated people. We become new creations. What does creation mean? I looked it up in the Greek. How many of you know? Would you like to know what creation is in the Greek? Creation. It means you create something new. All right, so now we have become new creations in Christ. People, if we can get a hold of this, it'll change your life like you cannot believe how. There are many Christians that are still living mainly with the old way of thinking, their old lives, even though we're new in Christ, we're new creations. It's almost like the person who booked a cruise on a boat. Anyone been on a cruise? Okay, some people have been on a cruise. Now what happened is, cruises are known for a couple of things. Alvin and I have done it, my wife and I, which are wonderful. But one of the best things about cruises is the food. You can have 5 meals a day. And one restaurant is open from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight. You can go there anytime, have anything you want. Does that sound okay for you? I'm not advertising MSC or anything, but cruises are good. Okay, but now this person, he didn't understand all the benefits of a cruise, so he booked his cruise, he got on the cruise, but he didn't have enough money to pay for the meals. So just before, at the end of the cruise, before he was disembarking, the captain was around just greeting people, and so he came up to him and sort of speaking to this passenger, and so he said, "So tell me something, did you enjoy the food we set out for you?" And the person looked at him and says, "No, I didn't have extra money to afford the food, so I brought cream crackers, and I was having cream crackers in my cabin." Captain looks at him and says, "Sir, the food was included in the ticket." How many of you men there, your heart just sunk right there? Imagine you could have this wonderful food, but you're eating cream crackers, not realizing the food's on the house. And it's the same thing with us sometimes, is that we settle for the crumbs of what God has prepared for us, and we don't understand the massive and the promises, the change that has happened to us, that so many things are available to us in Christ. And it's my, I believe I feel led to encourage us to go for everything that God has for us. I declare that I'm a glutton for every blessing God has, because the more I'm blessed, the more I'm able to bless others. And maybe you can have the same attitude. So we have a new identity. You see, we come from all different backgrounds, don't we? We come from different cultures. We come from different races. We come from different social standings. We're all so different. But listen, when we receive Jesus, I receive a totally new identity. Now I want to say, I'm a child of God before I'm a South African. I'm a child of God before I'm an English-speaking South African. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the child of God supersedes anything else. Let me tell you, in myself, I have a lot of limitations. I've already shared one with you. I'm a down-to-earth sort of a person. Okay? So I've got other limitations. I won't tell you them all to you. Okay, I don't want you having crying or anything. But the issue is, we all have limitations, don't we? In ourselves. But let me tell you, when we receive Jesus, it changes. And so I want to just go into that a little bit over there. It says, because a lot of Christians are living like a roller coaster ride. When things are going well, we're praising God. When tough times come, like our brother read the scripture in James chapter 1. When tough times come, what happens? So often, we sad, we down, we don't understand things. Why? Because we don't understand our identity. And so I was thinking about that. You see, the other thing, when we receive Christ, nothing sort of changes on the outside. So when I received Christ, I didn't get more hair. Now I want to say the wrinkles didn't go away. With women, it's so much easier, isn't it? Because they have makeup. Then when things get really desperate, they just use polyfiller. Who knows the difference? You know what I'm saying? Sorry, lady, but you understand what I'm saying. So, but the issue is this, that nothing changes on the outside much. Yes, Pastor Joe, a good friend of mine. Pastor Joe, would you, I don't want to put you in the limelight, but you normally are. So would you mind just standing, please? I want more than that. Can you come to me, if you don't mind? Now you see, while Pastor, yeah, give him a hand. While Pastor Joe is coming, you must know that we gymmed together for a few years.
I'm going to get you back, sis.
Okay, now, I want to say what I say. Would you believe we gymmed together? See, now what happened is, when we gymmed, you got the muscles. I just went through the pain. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Okay. So, nothing changed. And you see, nothing changed. Listen, yes, it's very important. Nothing really changed on the outside of me when I received Jesus. And because nothing changed so much on the outside, I didn't realize the massive change that happened on the inside. And so often, even though I'm a child of God, I still live like I'm not a child of God. So I've got an illustration here that I thought I'd use. So if you could put up the first picture, if you don't mind, there. Now, only if you're 45 years and over will you know what that is. Who knows what it is? It's a Morris Minor. The reason why I chose this car is because the modern cars are too fancy. You see, but that car was just ordinary. Lovely little car. You can see it's on it. It's about coming. It's going to bring someone to church because it's polished and it's clean and it's on its best behavior over there. But that's who we are in the natural. Okay, have you got a thing in that picture? But something happens when we receive Christ. As I told you, nothing much happens on the outside. But check this one out, if you don't mind. That's... Come on now. That's what we become. Listen, can you still recognize it's a Morris Minor? The shape's still the same, but I want to tell you there's one massive change under the bonnet. That change is so big that it comes out of the bonnet. It's a turbocharged V8 motor. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now when we receive Christ, I want to say this, is that we become new creations, you see. So what happens is on the inside of us, not on the outside, on the inside, in our spirits, we become turbocharged, spirit-filled, full of power, hallelujah, that we can go through anything. That little Morris Minor, the ordinary one's only 1,000cc, and that 1,000cc those years aren't like 1,000cc this year. You understand what I'm saying? They couldn't do much. But I want to tell you, how many of you know there are a lot of trials and tribulations that this little car will just laugh at? Go on, men. Okay, men are quiet, aren't they? You understand what I'm saying? And people, I want to say, even though we may be the same on the outside, I want to tell you there's a massive difference that's taking place in our spirits. And it's God's will for us to recognize who we are on the inside, that what's happened on the inside will manifest on the outside. And so, to confirm that point, God, I believe, is more than anything else, he instituted baptism in water. So baptism confirms our new identity. See, baptism is actually an important event in a believer's life. Why? Jesus said this in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. You become a disciple first. You baptize them afterwards. Why? And baptize in the Greek, as you know, the word baptizo means to fully immerse, to dunk. In Afrikaans, how many understand Afrikaans? Yeah, I've got a few. In Afrikaans, it's doop. It's a drag, it's doop. Now we have rusks. How many know what a rusk is? Okay, is that a hard piece of sort of biscuit thing that you can't, I don't eat it just like that. So what you do, you take, you fuck daddy biscuit, you doop them, bro. You set them on there in your coffee. totdat hy bietjie sag word. Dan tel jy hom op en dan jy eet hom. Okay, jy besprinkel nie 'n beskuit nie. Jy doop daai ding. All right, so I'm just trying to tell the Afrikaans-speaking people, or those who can understand Afrikaans, mine isn't that great, but I understand this because I love rusk. She said, you take that rusk, you dunk it, you baptize it, you don't sprinkle it. Okay, does it, you understand? That's the word. Now, there's a reason for that. And in Romans 6, verse 1, tells us the reason. The title in this scripture, in my Bible, is Sin's Power is Broken. And it reads like this. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may walk in new lives. So it's just simply this, is that it's like a funeral service. We're buried with him. Why? Because when we received Jesus, what happened? We were born again. The old sinful nature died. And what do you do with a dead person? You bury them. You understand that? And so to me, the funeral service is the final proof that the person has actually died. And God wants us to be baptized so that even though we haven't changed on the outside, we have done something, we received Jesus, we changed, we're new creations, so the old creation, the old Sydney has died. And what do you do with the dead person? You bury them, and praise God, we're not baptized for Jesus, we're baptized with Jesus, hallelujah, that as he rose from the dead to walk in newness of life, we rise out of that water, having left that old sinful nature behind to walk a victorious life in Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here, you haven't been baptized, I want to challenge you and encourage you to seriously consider it. We have baptisms every Sunday after the morning service in our function hall. You don't even have to bring clothes or costumes or anything. They provided for you over there. And ladies, even hair dryers, I believe. So you can do that. Now, I'm coming to the exciting bit. There are new promises for our new identity. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, New King James Version says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us a promise as a new creation. What is it? His divine power. How powerful is that? I want to say it's all powerful. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge we have of him. You know, 35 years ago, a radical change happened in my life because of two things. Number one, I realized who I was in Christ and the scripture. By that time, I had already been in the ministry for 11 years. But something changed. And I read the scripture, and I saw what it meant. It said, as his divine power has given us everything, or all things that pertain to life. At that time, I was a missionary. And I think you know my story. It was a wonderful time of my life. I lived in a caravan. I went from the Eastern Cape to Malawi preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw amazing miracles happening. Blind eyes opened, deaf ears, people that are demon possessed, set free. A woman that walked on her knees for 14 years because she had a disease that pulled her muscles up, her hamstrings, and she walked on her knees for 14 years. Shocked, rejected by her family. We prayed for her. I've got, remember this old 8mm movie cameras? I've got a photograph of her 2 weeks later walking perfectly. I saw many wonderful things happen. But in those years, I don't know what it's like now, those years, missionaries were poor. especially from South Africa. The American ones are a bit better, but they're South Africa. I mean, I was so poor, as you know, I couldn't even pay attention, never mind anything else, you know. But the issue is, I came across this scripture. And when I saw, God, you've given me everything that pertains to life. And as I said, I'd been in the ministry 11 years at that time, and 11, 12, one of the two. And I said, God, you know what? Anyone's worked for a boss for 12 years would have their own house. I've got nothing. But I receive a house from you today. And within the next 6 months, I bought a house. A miracle. The bond repayments are 607 rand a month, and I earn 250 rand a month total. I mean, you know, that's a miracle. Why? Through one scripture. And so, as I was preparing, I'm sensing God is saying, share this with my people. Because he, according to his divine power, has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so, this is what I sensed. The people over here, you need employment. And God says, I've given to you everything that pertains to life. How many of you know you need employment? If there's anyone here, you need employment. I want you to raise your hands right now. Anyone? Okay, now I want you to be brave and stand to your feet because I believe a miracle is going to take place for you. Just be brave. Stand to your feet. You need employment. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to ask you, do you believe our God is powerful enough to give you employment? Do you believe that? Well, fine. Receive your employment right now as you pray. Father, I pray for these people. Lord, there's such an excitement in my spirit because like you gave me a house, I thank you, you're giving them employment in the name of Jesus. Do you receive your employment? All right, and give God a hand right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for miracles. In Jesus' name. I just sense this is that there are people who are needing accommodation. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just sense God is saying he knows your need. Is anyone over here, maybe you're going to have to leave the house you're in or something's happened or you've been renting a house and it's been sold, anything. You need accommodation. Anyone over here? Because I just sense there'll be people over here. I want you to stand up right now if you would. Over here, we're going to believe God for accommodation for people in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, folks, God's a God of miracles. People standing there too. I want you to receive like I did. Just receive accommodation. Father, you're a God of miracles. You make a way where there is no way. I pray for these people that there will be testimonies coming from these people saying how good you were, how you opened doors unexpectedly. Father, but we receive accommodation for these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand for that there, but we're not finished. I just had a sense that there are people, you need more education because I just have the sense is that you've reached the limit and so you need to study to go further or maybe you are studying. Maybe there's some people you need money to further your education. Anyone over here like that? Or you're battling. You're battling to pass exams. You're battling with your studies. I want to say God can change you around. I know there was a time when we were preaching these things before. We had a bunch of parents come in and their children received the reward for the most improved scholar. Because something happened in them. Because we can have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone like that, I want you to stand because God's going to give breakthrough. Over here. God's hallelujah. Look at these people standing over here. I want to tell you, I see God's anointing coming on you. It's his will for you to better yourself. He wants you to study. He'll make a way for you. And you can tap into the mind of Christ. It's just such a pity. I found that out later in life. Because my matric marks were just excellent and fantastic. 3 E's and 3 F's. I found this out after. So I want to tell you, my children all got something about academics. I mean, my one son couldn't believe it in that sense, but we spoke faith and we prayed with them. And I want to say this, when you approach exams, listen to this prayer that I prayed over my children. Every one of them, every subject. And Father, where they have to guess, help them guess right. And I know in particular, my oldest son, he'd come to me keep standing. He'd come to me and say, Dad, after that exam, he said, Dad, yes, I don't even know if I've passed this exam. And I'd say, Trevor, what did we pray? Then he smiles, you see, he gets his results, he's got an A. He cummed his degree. He was a duck scholar at his school. Why? He had honors for academics. I couldn't even spell academics in matric. Right, come on, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these people standing. I feel an anointing of God coming down on you. You make a way for them to study, I pray. If those who are discouraged, Lord Jesus, or they're backing in their studies, Lord, I thank you that according to your divine power, you can help them understand work. You can help them remember work. You can help them guess right. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's give God a hand and finish what you've started. Praise God. I said, praise God. I just have a sense of you that people, that you need financial breakthrough. Anyone need financial breakthrough? And I want to tell you, we've had so many testimonies of financial breakthrough in this church. I want you to stand right now because my God is able to give you financial breakthrough. Just a couple of weeks ago, two Sundays ago, a lady, she's probably in the service here, she came. And I was actually with Pastor Joe. And she came, Pastor said, I just want to tell you this. You prayed once for financial breakthrough. And she said, from that day, right there within the next couple of weeks, she received thousands of rands. And every year, she receives thousands of rands every year since then. And we know that's financial breakthrough. Oh, I'm so excited for you. I said, I'm excited for you. Because my God, according to His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life. And money is part of life. Amen. Someone said, I've been poor and I've been rich. Rich is better. And the Bible says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. And what we need to do is take our eyes to the present economic situation. And I know that it's bad, but we are ambassadors for Christ. So therefore, we live as ambassadors. We're not fed. We're not relying on the economy where we're living right now. Why? An ambassador receives his money from his home country. And our home country is heaven. Hallelujah. And that's why it says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. So, Father, I pray for these people standing in the name of Jesus. I receive financial blessing and financial breakthrough for them in the name of Jesus. Do you receive your financial breakthrough? Come on, let's rejoice. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in God. I want to say this. People have said, can God grow money on trees? Now, I don't know about that. But Heaven and Mika and ourselves, we had supper together the other night, and it was such a wonderful time. Thank you for that. And Heaven shared about when he first got saved. He got saved. I don't know how he got saved, but it was in Italy. And they were then, just after they got saved, they were on a tour together. And in 1 week, God put so much gold on the floor and the people. Listen to this. Am I right in this? That they took it to a goldsmith and they paid for a 3-month trip. How many people? 9 or 10 people. 3-month trip, all airfares, all hotel costs, every expense they needed for 3 months through 1 week ministry, God pouring gold down. Is that the best you can do? I was over, that's my God. He can do anything. And so what happened, they didn't even take up an offering at the churches. They said, no, our expenses are paid by God, hallelujah. We got the gold, hallelujah, pure gold. Now, I believe God can give you a breakthrough. Why? Because He says that He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through His divine power. Amen. Is that okay with you? Gee, is anyone else here getting excited in this place this morning? I'm excited. Come on, guys. We're not the original Morris Minor. We're the turbocharged V8 thing. Hallelujah. And God is fueling us with His Holy Ghost. There are people over here today, you need divine healing. And he has provided that. It says by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And so I need to just go quickly over here. I sense God now, he's touching people. Asthma, anyone with asthma, suffering from asthma over here. There are people suffering from bronchitis. And it's almost like he said, winter's come again. And you're expecting this bronchitis and your lungs and so on. I want you to stand up as I'm speaking, if you would. Asthma, stand up. Bronchitis, stand up. I just sense that there are people with suffering from migraine, headaches. And God's saying, you can say goodbye to them today. Anyone, migraine, headaches, you've been suffering with them. I see some people suffering a long time. I see God healing joints. So maybe you're suffering from arthritis or something, but I see God taking pain out of joints. And I see God healing shoulders. I see God healing knees. I see God just touching people. There are people here with back trouble, and God says, your back was given to be a blessing to you and not a curse. And so I see things happening. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for that. There's people with heart trouble. A word came about open heart surgery, but there's some people standing over here, sitting, and you got heart trouble. And God wants to touch your heart and give you a fresh heart, a new heart. He wants to give you a transformation without having to go to the operating room. There are people suffering over here from I go ahead of myself. There's some people that have kidney trouble. God wants to touch you and heal you. And there are people with cancer, or you've got family with cancer. I want you to stand up for them. Our God can heal. By his stripes we healed. I thank you for that, Father. Oh, I praise you, Lord Jesus. Some people with spastic colon over here. Spastic colon or colon trouble. I want you to stand. People, I sense that people who have suffered from heartburn, just heartburn, heartburn, heartburn. And he wants to take that away for you. Father, I praise you for that. Come on now. I want you, if you can, put your hand where it is. Thyroid gland comes up. Anyone suffering from a thyroid problem? Overactive, underactive, whatever, thyroid gland. Have you know thyroid's been given as a blessing? Father, I pray. All right, just put your hand if you can where your affected part is. Right now we receive healing in the name of Jesus. And I say to these people standing, in Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. I just sense pain's beginning to go. God's beginning to touch people. Some of you, as you walk out of these doors, you healed. Some, by tomorrow, you're going to be healed. Some right now, right now. How many of you can feel God touching you already? Just raise your hands. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Father, I want to thank you. As you feel God touching, just raise your hand. He gets all the glory, hallelujah. Father, I praise you. You're touching these people. We say, be healed. In the name of Jesus. All right, begin to test yourself. If your back was sore, bend down, stand up. All right, and let's just give God a big hand for this over here. Father, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. In Jesus' name. I just believe that God wants to turn businesses around. Businesses that are suffering, he wants to turn it around and he wants to make your businesses profitable. Anyone over here with a business and you need it turned around, then just stand up right now in Jesus' name. My advice to business people that are battling, I want to say this, do the basic things. Number one, make sure that you're in what people need. So don't get selling something people don't want. Make sure your integrity, that you're a person of integrity, a person of your word. A person of excellence. Now listen to this. What I found in my years' experience as a pastor, that when business people came to me as their pastor for help and prayer, God gave me supernatural wisdom to help them. In fact, there's one businessman in our congregation. At one time he said, I'm the best business person he's ever met in his life. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't know me. You just know me under the anointing, because God is honoring your humility to come to me for counsel, and I'm open to God and realize the responsibility I have to give you good counsel. So I rely on God. God gives me wisdom for you. And I want to say, never be or think you can't go to your pastor for help. Do that. But I believe our God's going to give you a breakthrough. Is there good news to anyone? I see people owed money. People owed money. Money hasn't been paid to you. Anyone like that over here? All right, now I want to say, Father, I want to thank you for these business people. You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you have given these people an anointing to do business. And so, Father, I pray, bless their business in the name of Jesus. Bless it. I speak blessing over their businesses. I speak your wisdom over them. I speak your prosperity over them in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm excited. Let's give God a big hand for these business people. Hallelujah. See the testimonies that you will have in the name of Jesus. Now I'm running out of time. But I just want to say this. God is going to restore relationships. Parents and children, families, you've been trusting God for your children to get saved. They're going to get saved. I said, they're going to get saved. Amen. Anyone like that, just stand up as we draw this to a close. Just stand up right now. If you're trusting God for restoration relationships or your family to be saved, Father, thank you for this. I thank you in Jesus' name. Send your angels out, send laborers out, but Father, we call them in. We call in restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm bringing this to a close just to say this. These promises produce the nature of God in us. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These exceedingly great and precious promises. What's their purpose? Is to produce the nature of God. It's not to make us conceited, proud, arrogant, to have a sense of superiority. But it's there, listen, that we may be filled with the love of God. That we may have grace for others. That we may be kind and forgiving. That we will be generous. We'll be people who walk in humility. We'll be faithful. We'll be people of integrity. We'll become more and more like Jesus. Is that wonderful? I said, is that wonderful? Yes. Let God work in us. That we become more like Jesus. But I want to say, how many of you changing your mind? You're going to agree with me now. You're going to be like me. You're going to be a glutton for every blessing that God has for you. Let me see your hands. Is that true? Then come, let's stand up this morning. We say, we're going to pray that prayer. Father, we receive every blessing. We're a glutton for every blessing that you have for us, so that we, the more we bless God, the more we can bless others with, in the name of Jesus. Let's all give God a hand this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus. I want to say, have a blessed, healthy, prosperous week in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Pastor Sid, for that word. I trust you've had a wonderful morning with us, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Please remember, there is baptism. Pastor Sid spoke about that specifically this morning. There is baptism after the service in the function hall towards my right. And finally, there'll be prayer up front. You're welcome to come to the front for prayer, and if the elders, the pastors, and the shepherds can join us, and the prayer team to join us for the prayer in the front. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.